We are family. All my brothers, sisters, and me. Remember that song? That's an old song I remember. I actually like to listen to it. And it has a spiritual meaning for us today. We are a spiritual family in Messiah, striving and overcoming and doing the will of the Father. I want to talk to you today about staying connected, being a part of the family. If we're allowing Yahweh's Spirit to work with us, and we're paying attention to Yahweh's Word, doing what it says, it's really not that hard. If you would, turn with me to Matthew 12, 46 through 50. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Yahshua answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. What family doesn't stay connected? I mean, we contact one another. We see how we're doing. What do we need to do to stay connected? What are the benefits thereof? First of all, our connection with Yahweh through Yahshua is paramount. Praying, studying, meditating upon his word, it is our lifeline. It keeps us moving forward in the Spirit, not quenching it, but allowing it to work on our minds and our hearts to change us into the people that Yahweh would have us to be. He wants us to be a loving and kind and merciful people, as he has been loving and kind and merciful towards us. Secondly, staying connected with brethren is not to be neglected. It helps us to reconnect with each other in Yahshua. It encourages us to keep enduring towards the goal of the coming kingdom, to overcome evil with good and to overcome the world in general. Staying connected allows us to use our gifts, our talents. Imagine having something to use and there's no one around to share it with. That's a problem. Staying connected allows us to use our gifts and talents. It keeps us from hiding or burying them. You know, if there's no one around to share your talents with, what are you going to do? You know, just bury it, put it away. Remember the parable of the talents. Goods, property, possessions, money. Symbolically, it's abilities, qualities, things that Yahweh gives each and every one of us. We've been given much. We're talking about giving up ourselves for Yahweh, and by doing so, gaining everything. Psalms 133, 1 through 3. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard. Even Aaron's beard, imagine that, picture that. It's coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yahweh commanded the blessings forever. How good is it to be in unity with the brethren, to not have fights and disputes, to have the same doctrine, to have things in sync and be on the same page with one another. How good is it to be in unity with brethren, especially when we are looking out for one another's needs. Mount Hermon is in the upper northern region of Israel, and it is lush with vegetation even during the dry months there in Jerusalem. It would have been refreshing to have traveled through that area, come like Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles, going back and forth through that area. Here we see the town of Metula, one of the northernmost towns in Israel today, which is just west of Mount Hermon, the area there. In this image, we see it is now, well, in this image, it was snow-capped during the winter. When we travel and meet together before Yahweh for the feast, we also receive enjoyment, refreshing. There is excitement with the expectation of gathering with the saints before Yahweh in worship. It's a special time, and as we come together, there's more of Yahweh's Spirit to encourage us, to help us, to allow us to be more refreshed in him. And as the saying goes, we may not all be able to do everything, but we can all do something. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 25 says, But now Yahweh has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again to the head, or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have need of it. But Yahweh has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. We are members of the body of the Messiah. We are to be caring and concerned for one another. Together we can build each other up and be supportive of one another in the spirit of Yahweh. And it's not always easy. Some people depart because it's like Paul and Barnabas. They weren't able to see eye to eye there for a time, and they just parted ways. This happens. I think a lot of it happens when we come up with some different doctrines. I mean, the Bible is a deep book, and it's understandable that there can be misunderstandings. But we're to be growing, and we're to mature in the Spirit. And I think we are going to come closer and closer to the truth as we get closer and closer to the end of the age. I mean, closer to the truth in the sense that we'll understand it better. And I think this is basically prophecy that we see coming about, even with the restoration of the names, the sabbaticals, the idea of when they are, these type of things. It's all part of Yahweh's plan. Let's look at Ephesians 4, 2 through 4. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one spirit, just as you also were called in one hope of your calling. I want to back up here just a minute and give you an image so that we can kind of see what it should look like among us in a sense. I mean, we should be connected. We should be together. We should be united and making a united front and sharing the word with others. I mean, this is really what we're called to be doing. And the only way it's going to happen is if we grow more mature in the spirit and of Yahweh's word and understanding it more and more as we continue on. Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Messiah, for whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We are to be loving, united, working together. We are to be ready as a people for Yahshua's return. But are we? Are we living examples of the word of Yahweh in our lives, in our personal lives? And they say one definition of character is what you're doing when you're alone, when nobody sees what you're doing. But we are to be an example to others. We're not to hide our talents. We're not to hide our light. We are set up in such a way that we can live our lives openly, especially in this country where we have tremendous freedoms to allow the work to go forward and to share with others. And in a sense, we let our light shine that way. But we let our light shine also by taking time off to attend the feast, by making sure that when we are hired by an employer that we take the Sabbath off. And they can ask, well, the seventh day that you need off, what's that all about? And you can share the word by, doing it yourself. 1 Corinthians 14:12. So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the assembly. Again, it's all about helping one another. It's about serving. In this situation, the Corinthians, as individuals, were trying to build self rather than serve others. Paul had to address their babblings, and they were trying to be, spiritually, I've got the Spirit in me, and they're trying to show this. But Paul was saying, look, don't do things like that, but serve, help one another. Don't do it for yourself. We are to seek and build up one another by serving one another. And wasn't this Joshua's own example when he washed the brethren's feet, when he washed the disciples' feet? Did we understand that as brethren? Or do we understand as brethren? We either build up or tear down. And if we're doing neither, we might be just lukewarm. Revelation 3:14-17. To the angel of the assembly in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Yahweh, says this: I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. It's a true statement when to say that the deceived are truly deceived. They can't see. And there are those that are deceived. And I'd like to think that we're the Philadelphia Assembly. I mean, that would be nice. The ones that keep and do actually what Yahweh's word says. They don't deny the Savior's name. And it seems plausible since we don't have a lot of strength. Not a lot of numbers. But doesn't this describe the whole body of believers in general? What percentage of the overall population is really striving to do Yahweh's will? Not many. Less than 1%, I would gather. But Yahweh ultimately knows. While some of the doctrines are not all the same, we are trying to grow in unity of faith and correcting what doctrines there are which are not correct. And this may take some time, but it is prophesied that more will be revealed and a restoration of all things will come about before Yahshua's return. And this appears to mean those in Messiah will see eye to eye, being in the same spirit and truth prior to his return. This is hopeful, but I'm not really sure. We have to leave open the possibilities, and it's not always the way we think it's going to be with prophecy. We have to leave open the possibilities. Even with this said, we know we must be like Yahshua and about our Father's business. Plain enough, simple enough. There are consequences if we neglect what we're given, or what we've been given, and we've been given much. Matthew 25:14-17 says, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with him, gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. Cause and effect. Yahweh is not mocked. And we're told that we will reap what we sow. So if we're sowing wrong, we're going to reap wrong. If we're sowing right, we're going to reap right. If we're not sowing at all, then, we're hiding our talent. Matthew 25:24-30. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him, give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even that which he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, there are consequences for neglecting what we've been given. And so, you know, I even thought about when I was contemplating baptism. You know, it's even in Scripture, count the cost. Make sure you can finish, you know, building what you're planning on building. But you can take a look at it in just the opposite way of, you know, counting the cost of giving things up, counting the cost of not moving forward. Cause and effect. So, how can we avoid the trappings of Satan? How about not spending all of our time with the world? Certainly a good start. But plan our lives around Yahweh's word. This means planning to keep the feast, if we're enabled to. It means making and accepting changes in our life, which is no longer our life, but Yahweh's, because ours was paid for with a great price, Yahshua's. We are to avoid living our lives in former sin, which we came out of. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, we'll go through a couple of these scriptures here together. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 5 through 6. For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah and Yahweh. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of Yahweh comes upon the sons of disobedience. Okay, let's just stop here. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Hey, everything's going to be all right. Yahweh has great things for you. Lift up your chin and stick out your chest and be joyful and be happy, because you can live your life the way you want. Yahweh has taken care of everything for us. He gave his son. We are under grace. We're here, and it's great. And that's the end of the message. And it sounds good. Tickles people's ears. And they get fascinated with the stories and the jokes and the different things that are expounded upon. Life experiences, these type of things. Well, Brother Joe, he went through the trial here. Let's talk about his testimony and just how great our Father is. And yet they're not living by his word. It's a sham. It's a lie. They're deceived whether they know it or not. And if indeed they're deceived, they don't know what they're doing. But we're told not to follow the blind, because the blind will lead you into a ditch, essentially. And so we are warned about listening to such things. We have to search the scriptures. We have to discern what is right versus what is wrong. And it's Yahweh's word that decides what is right. But we know that there's wrath coming because of the lies and because of the disobedience of people. Colossians 3, 6 through 7. For it is because of these things that the wrath of Yahweh will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. Yeah, I didn't have a care in the world. I did my own thing. Seemed all right at the time. I was having fun. Pleasures of the world. Happiness. Well, there's a way that seems right to a man that ends in death. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, we're told. We have to ask ourselves, though, have we changed? Are we really on the path? Are we on the straight and narrow? Are we doing all that we can to be in line with Yahweh's Spirit and his word? Do we find it best to avoid seeking out any worldly relationships? Or I should say, don't we find it best to avoid seeking out any worldly relationships? But make no mistake, we are to be hospitable to strangers, neighbors, co-workers, etc. Hebrews 13:2-3, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels, messengers, without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are in the body. Do we remember prisoners or believers in prison? There are some that have converted in prison. They've been immersed into Yahshua's name. They're striving to overcome their old ways. They still have to live out their civil punishment, but they're a new person in Messiah. Do we have compassion for them as if being in their shoes, thinking what it must be like for them? Do we pray for the brethren in such situations that they might be released, that they would stay the course with Messiah living in them? We hope and pray that they don't go back to their old companions and their old ways, but rather keep in step and move forward in Yahweh's ways, in his steps, in the Messiah's steps. 1 Corinthians 6:14-15, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have unrighteousness and lawlessness, and what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Messiah with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Now, there are situations in which we must be peacemakers. Prison is one. If you're in prison, we're around some of the worst of society. They didn't care about human life, and now they're serving life. There is hope, even though, for them, if they repent and start serving Yahweh through Yahshua, they can then turn and be a light to others. And this is the hope, turning away from evil, turning away from wrong. Even if you're sentenced to life in prison, you can serve out the rest of your sentence serving Yahweh, even though you may not be able to be released physically. You've been released spiritually. We are also to be peacemakers in other situations, like marriage. Maybe you came into the faith, but your spouse hasn't. 1 Corinthians 7:39, a wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, but only in the Master. In other words, in the faith. And as you know, we are to stay married to unbelieving spouses if that is how we came into the faith. 1 Corinthians 7:10-15. But to the married I give instructions, not I, but the Master, that the wife should not leave her husband, but if she does leave, she must remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband. And even that has some laws that you have to look at in the Old Testament. And that the husband should not divorce his wife. But I say to the rest, not the Master, that if... any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with her, she must not send her husband away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, that is protected, blessed, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through a believing husband. For otherwise your children are unclean, but now they are holy, set apart for a special purpose in your life. Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or the sister is not under bondage in such cases, but Elohim has called us to peace. This is what we're called to. And indeed, we are to keep the peace. In doing so, we help ourselves to have more peace along the way. After all, our Savior did say, blessed are the peacemakers. There are rewards for such things as these. In the body of Messiah, though, we are all different. Yet we can move forward in the same spirit, working, being devoted, using the gifts of the Spirit to build each other up in the Messiah. Romans 12:4-6, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, who are one body in Messiah, and individual members one of another, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And of course, the next verses, he gives a number of things. Here are a few things he says we can be doing in the following verses. We can be and are to be, as the Spirit provides, prophesying, serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, loving, diligent, persevering, devoted to prayer, rejoicing, peacemakers. It's not a small list, and that's just a portion of it. The rewards for overcoming and allowing Yahweh's Spirit to work within us is that we become more of the workmanship of Yahweh being put together in the body. Each individual stone being shaped and molded and built up as a temple of Yahweh. We will be raised together if we stay together in the body of Messiah. 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua. The problem is some stop giving up spiritual sacrifices. They go back to the world. They give it up, thinking that things were better before. They got frustrated. Things didn't work out like they thought they would. But we are not to go backwards. We are to move forward with the Holy Spirit guiding and directing our lives in Messiah. 1 Corinthians 14 through 16, knowing that he who raised the Master Yahshua will raise us also with Yahshua and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of Yahweh. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Our outer man is decaying. You know, I got pains and creaks and stuff I never had before. My hair is a little whiter every time I go get a haircut. More salt and pepper, or actually less pepper, more salt. But hearing and knowing things like this makes us want to be together, gathered together before Yahweh and the Master, coming before Yahweh at the appointed times. He designates, and it allows us to have fellowship and to further encourage one another. Now, this can't always be done because of sickness, health, finances, prison, what have you. But I hope we aren't just making excuses, because Scripture certainly warns against that. The opportunity afforded us, and it's a great opportunity, is not just to have fellowship, but to gather with the saints before Yahweh together, looking forward to the coming kingdom. Most importantly, though, it's being able to come before the Creator of the universe at the times he tells us to. He is our focus. What he tells us to do needs to be done. Separate, but together, holy, apart, but in touch, dispersed, but yet united in Yahweh's Spirit. Let's not neglect that Spirit. Let's not neglect the body of Messiah. We are the children of Yahweh. Isn't this message to us by Yahweh? Isn't this the message to us by Yahweh? Isn't it a message about hope and overcoming, considering ourselves and the body as a family? Let's consider the message and take it to heart. Hebrews 10:23-25 will close with this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. May Yahweh bless as we gather together before Yahweh and serve him and serve one another. Whether apart or together, we need to be doing our Father's will in Yahshua.